did I'm he just, reach that conclusion that you're a hermaphrodite?
If I think he was trolling.
Oh yeah, I always forget. I forget that they do that on the internet.
Sure do.
What episode number is it? 71?
I have no idea anymore.
Hello! Hello, everyone! Welcome to Podsoid for another week. Aren't you lucky getting it all for free and good? I'm Jim Sterling, I'm your host as usual, and I'm joined by Jonathan Holmes.
Hey!
Jonathan Holmes.
Hi!
Like sugar on my lips. Max Scoville! Yes.
Hello. How are you, everyone?
I'm really tired. That's why it's turning terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's bullshit.
I was up late doing some drinking for Celebrate for Make Money. And
you made money?
Making good money. Good business things. I can't talk about. I'm killing prostitutes.
for money?
Yes.
It's a profit deal?
Yes, have you not played Grand Theft Auto?
Oh yeah, that's right.
You
that was one of the
kill
first
a prostitute,
things...
and they always have £1,000. Tara Long is another person who's on the podcast. Hello,
hello.
Hi.
Okay. Almost thought you forgot about me.
No, you're always in the back of my mind, like a tick or cancer, and I mean that in the most like heartfelt and romantic of ways.
Thank you.
Ticks
you
and cancers, they're sometimes not bad.
If you want to pick up the prostitutes, you have to drive a nice car, though. That's the trick.
In real life or in the video game?
I don't know. I haven't tried it in real life. I'm a terrible driver.
Oh, yeah, I've never seen you drive a car. That's true.
Yeah. Yes, you have. You're like one of the only people in San Francisco who has, actually.
When did I see you drive a car?
No, I drove Nero's car for that Tommy Wiseau video we did.
Oh, yeah, that was great. I forgot that was you.
The only time I've driven a car in Northern California, I was wearing a wig at the time.
Yeah, I got so into that video and into character, I forgot that was you. You really did a great job in that.
And I interviewed the real man.
I know. How weird was that? And then you used the little clip there at the end of the episode. That was good.
Yeah. We've shown that on several episodes, actually.
That's fun. I'm glad that existed. You were a little worried that was going to be crappy, I remember, Max, but I talked you into it.
It was weird.
It was weird.
It aged well.
I'll tell you what's weird. Right?
Yes.
Because I've been sniffing a Sharpie all afternoon. Right? And what is weird to me is if they don't want you sniffing them, why do they smell so, like, alluring? It's like, ooh. It's like pear drops.
Well, a Sharpie, you're going to end up in
Holmes's hospital.
I don't think a Sharpie's that bad for you. It's just alcohol-based ink.
It says non-toxic, which means it's like 100% okay to snort, isn't it?
You can eat it.
I should eat it.
Shall
I eat the Sharpie or not?
Don't eat it.
I'm going to lick it.
Is it dying or is it like a fresh Sharpie?
Oh, that tastes great. Why am I licking? What the fuck? Why am I
Did
smacking?
You really lick it?
Yes.
No, that's bad. No.
Of course I licked it. It said non-toxic. That means it's edible. That's how it works. That's how food works.
No, the taste is bad.
Oh, God.
That's how it tastes.
And this is how we start this week, with me thinking, desperate to amuse, licking a Sharpie. There aren't even any cameras.
God, you're like me in high school. I was always snorting stuff and licking stuff and weird things to impress people. It never worked.
Probably got it all over. I'm pathetic. I really am a gross individual.
I wouldn't say that. You just were experimenting with a new flavor. We all want to just check it out.
We're all curious.
You got a lot of guts. That's all I'm saying.
I know. You can see him poking out the bottom of my shirt.
No. I was going to drink some.
Fat joke.
I was going to drink some month-old Coca-Cola today at my day job because I was so tired.
How old?
Wow.
Probably a month, unrefrigerated. Not moldy, though.
It's not like wine.
I insisted that it was, and I asked someone to prove me wrong, and they could not.
My friend ate some old chips once.
How'd it go?
You know, when I say chips, I mean the English chips.
French fries.
Fries.
They're not fries. Fries is a type of chip. It's a designation. Chips have a fatter cut. Everyone
so steak fries.
Steak fries.
You got him.
Anyway, my friend ate some old chips. They were in an oven cold, and he was hungry, so he ate them. And then he was at the bus stop and was sick. Tune in next week for another tale.
So in high school,
that's what happened to Teen Angel.
I don't know.
But
who's Teen Angel?
My friend what? Is there.
Teen Angel show on TGIF about the kid who eats the hamburger that was underneath that he finds underneath his bed. It's like 2 months old, and then he dies, and then his best friend becomes his guardian angel.
That's
or he
not
becomes
what
his
happened.
Best friend's guardian angel.
That is not that's what happens.
That's story. Not true.
If that had happened to my true. Friend, I'd have just told an amazing story. The story I told was shit.
I've been really liking to tell bad stories lately. I'm not going to dare do it today, but they can be pretty funny. Yep.
In high school, I don't know why I did this, but I used to snort things to impress people or like just do it at dares.
Like
who was impressed?
Idiots, dumb high schoolers who were dumber than me. But they'd be like, hey. And I'd be like, I'll snort this crushed up Altoid. And they're like, what? He's going to do it. And I'd do it. And then they'd be like, wait, hey, come here, snort this. And I'd be like, that's crushed up erasers. I don't know how I'm going to do that. I don't know if that's going to work. And they'd be like, hey, snort this. And I'm like, that's just a Dorito. You got to make it like a powdered thing.
Go ahead.
I don't have a sense of smell anymore.
What? You don't?
Can't really. You get high if you snort erasers?
Like,
you can totally. Our like sixth grade teacher told us about some kid, like, who.
Like, a bold teacher.
Like, you know, like the pink pearl erasers or whatever. If you, like, rub
Did
it.
Did he come in with, like, his tie loosened and his hair all over the place? And kids, if you want to get off your fucking tits.
Yeah, I was going to say, he really trusted you guys. Do it immediately.
Was there a cautionary tale? Was he telling
you?
He said that he accused a kid of doing it once, and the kid like came in and started doing it right in front of him.
Didn't he think you guys would just immediately do it after that because it sounded fun?
No, it wasn't really a cautionary tale. It was more like a look what this kid did once. Also, don't be idiots.
He just decided that like kids are doing it all the time.
This girl.
He was one of my coolest teachers. Actually, I'm friends with him on Facebook now.
Oh, that's nice.
Tell him he's mental.
Oh, he's awesome.
Is he friends with a lot of his former students?
Yeah,
he was at a school trying to classify erasers as hard drug substances.
No. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like that at all.
It's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it sounds exactly like that.
He was just regaling us with a tale. He like we liked him because he told all sorts of crazy stories, especially about his past students.
Huh. But you guys were responsible enough to not just do all the bad things he told you other kids had done?
I think you guys are missing the point of the story, which is that you can snort erasers to get high.
You know, Holmes, you told us about how you can snort Mr. Bubble to go crazy. And every time I go in my bathroom, I see it there, and I'm like, hello there, Mr. Bubble. You know, like that.
It's not a good crazy. It's like the worst of drug abuse right there, Mr. Bubble. Bath salts, they call it.
There is a genre of porn called cum snorting.
Really?
Oh, no.
And in which I was about to say lovely ladies, but the kind of ladies that do this particular type of porn are far from lovely.
Have you seen ass smoothies?
Oh no.
Go
Jim,
on.
Is that
Jim?
Is that yeah.
It's incredible. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. Not really, but it's pretty bad. Basically they get these girls and they're like they like pretend they're on like a cooking show and they like make this they like make a smoothie, right? Like they make like a regular smoothie in a blender.
Please let this go where I think it's going.
Stop.
And then they put it in their butt.
They put the blender?
The whole blender, but they put the smoothie like through a funnel. They give themselves like a smoothie enema. And then they have to like poop it out into a cup and drink it.
Oh no.
God it's damn so it. Bad.
You see, that didn't quite go where I was hoping it would go, where they'd get
same here.
They'd get oranges and bananas and like cut the orange into segments and then cut up the bananas and then shuffle that up their ass and then just clench and jump up and down a bit and then like distribute it as a smoothie from a funnel stuck up their shuffle.
Well, that's so almost,
the ass acts as the blender.
Chutney smoothies. Almost.
It's pretty bad because that's the thing is a smoothie looks like a smoothie unless it's coming out of someone's butt.
You guys should be nurses because the nurses at my job just want to talk about butts and enemas and prolapsed anuses.
Well, they're in the right place. Prolapsed
vaginas. Yeah. Prolapsed vagina they were talking about. Ooh. Someone's innards coming out of their vagina.
That would look like a...
How is that even possible, though?
I'm imagining, like, the scene in Aliens with the facehugger pressed up against the glass and the tube trying to get at someone. Is it like that or not?
That's more like the prolapsed anus. It's like a little elephant trunk coming out your bum. And,
I had friends in high school who were in 4-H, like doing ag and stuff. And their favorite thing to tell people who weren't doing ag... You know, they like, take them apart. They'd be like, oh, they're going to respect me for playing with farm animals all day. And they'd be like, hey. You know what a blowout is? And we'd be like, what's a blowout? And they'd be like, it's when a sheep shits out its own butthole. So you got to take a metal rod and you got to stick it in the sheep's butt and then put a rubber band around its anus that's hanging out. And then it atrophies and falls off.
That sounds crummy.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it.
Definitely do not Google prolapsed vaginal wall.
Yeah, that happens from a just collapsed bladder.
Put that out there, don't do it.
Tara Long, you've basically just told me to Google prolapsed vaginal wall. You people talk amongst yourselves. My mouse won't work.
I can't look away from it, though. It looks like...
Oh, you looked at it? That fast?
Oh my god, it's so much worse.
Gaze down into the abyss.
I haven't looked yet, but I've heard it looks like uncooked chicken breast just coming out of somebody's...
Yeah, it looks like you're, like, permanently having a baby.
Nothing looks like that. You guys are lying to me.
I'm not going to look. I didn't go to nursing school.
Okay, so what's the exact words? Prolapse.
Prolapse vaginal wall.
Do they have any, like, amateur lapse vaginal walls?
The walls.
Oh wow!
Scary
okay.
Walls closing it
the great, up. The great walls.
Oh wow!
So
it gets worse. That noise?
It looks like not to put too fine a point on it, a cauliflower molded out of strawberry ice cream.
That's horrible! Stop it! God damn it!
Biology.
I thought it looked more like a scrotum coming out of a vagina.
There's lots
I don't
of,
know what that looks like.
There's lots of different types. The one I'm looking at is particularly dry. I mean, it looks like it's been out for a while. It's probably aired off.
See, but a lot of them have folds and such.
Folds.
I don't even know. This is terrible radio. I'm sorry. The listeners didn't tune in just to have us sort of Google searching. That's incredibly self-indulgent and rude.
That's not right. That's right.
Holmes, what the fuck's your problem, man?
Jonathan I didn't Holmes, ask Jonathan Holmes, you are a rude Google. You are a rude Googling Gertrude.
I didn't Google anything. I didn't Google
you're just
anything.
The Googler. You're just a Googler, aren't you?
You are. You're Batman's newest enemy, the Googler.
Jonathan Holmes, the Googler.
Google me this, Batman.
The Googler. Hey, don't you look at me with those googly eyes.
You did it.
Stop listening to the band Kajagoogle.
I've been so preoccupied this whole time because the Talking to Women About Video Games post was destroyed and then just fixed 2 minutes ago. It's live now. So,
can you Google some pictures of fucked up vaginas now? Or
I could if I wanted to.
Is that what you're going to do now? Why did you invent Google, Jonathan Holmes? You invented Google specifically so that in the year 2011, our podcast would be fucked up because we'd be Googling for stuff.
Hey, Jim, you know what you should look up on Google?
What? Why are we still Googling
this? Mom?
Animal rectums. Just that by
like
itself.
That.
No. Don't do that.
Jonathan, why are you uploading fucking animal rectums on the internet, dirty little boy?
I really don't like animal rectums.
You mucky-mouthed, dirty-faced little boy.
I do like cartoon cat butts.
Go so clean your diaper. It's disgusting. Dirty, shitty little boy.
I bet you have a secret, Holmes. I bet you have a secret website, and all it is like Chechnya death videos and pictures you took of your own poop.
Jonathan Holmes is a walking Rotten.com. Like, he's got all the old Rotten.com images, like the guy who shotgunned his face open, like tattooed
God, I won't even look at
his body.
I won't even
Jonathan
look
Holmes, Jonathan Holmes, you have shock images of Lemon Party and Top Girl and Goatsy tattooed all over your body like Red Dragon. You are a 4chan Red Dragon, and we are onto your little game.
I still haven't been Bernard. To 4chan, and I don't have a tattoo.
You are a dirty Bernard.
It seems so bad, 4chan. Is it as bad as people say?
Talk about 4chan.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
They will hack your internet.
I got this great 4chan cookie the other day, and it said,
"Is that why it's called that?
Wheel of 4chan?"
Whoa!
My favorite boss on Metal Gear Solid 2 got the guns of the paper. No, that's the wrong one. But 4chan, 4chan, 4chan.
4chan's a tough boss. Shoots you with your railgun.
Is that his name in Metal Gear Solid 2?
It's the lady. She's like the sassy black lady with the blonde hair who has a railgun.
I forgot about her.
Jonathan,
there's a lot of sassy black people with blonde
Jonathan,
hair.
Jonathan.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Jonathan Holmes.
Yes, Jim.
Jonathan. There's yes. something I want to tell you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear it.
Sugar. Do, 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 do. Oh, honey, honey. Do, 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 do. You are my candy girl.
This is so awkward.
I really enjoyed that a lot.
I thought you would. I've been practicing that all afternoon.
You were 100% right. You know me well and my tastes. You know how
I
to tickle me bones.
I'd love to tickle your bones.
People have been asking if I can get one of the psychiatrists to appear on Podtoid and just give a quick rundown, you know, like talk to us for like 10 minutes and then give us just some diagnostic impressions.
Hey man, I've gotten enough diagnoses in my life. I know what's
up. I'm sure. But if you're curious, just, you know, not who you are, Max Scoville, but
I once tried to make a mental doctor tell me I had mental problems and they said I was 100% sane.
Yeah.
I'm actually certified sane.
Were you like keeping this man locked up in a storage unit and like outside Bakersfield?
No. I went and got myself checked out when I was feeling a bit sad. And sure. This was a few years ago. I may have degenerated since then. I went there and I was like, right, I'm going to go see a doctor and get so many excuses for my life. And I went away with none. No excuses. If I was,
that sucks.
I was in Britain at the time, fucking NHS. I should have done it. I should have waited till I got to the US, where you can basically just buy any disease you want. That's what I should have done. I should have said, right, I'm paying you for my time, therapist. Give me something. Alzheimer's. I don't care. Just make it worth the money. Here's $500. What can I have?
It's interesting. It's always
when I was younger. Yeah? When I was younger. I was like a sad little kid. And the doctors were like, oh yeah, you know, he's bipolar. And I was like, I'm like 11.
Oh, that hurts.
And I had a few doctors be like, oh yeah, you're bipolar type 2. And I'm like, oh man, that sucks. I'm a fucked up kid. And then it wasn't until like a therapist I saw like in college when I was all like fucking miserable at art school who was like, nah, man, you're not bipolar. It's like a total misdiagnosis. You're just like depressed and occasionally you get sort of hyperactive. And I'm like, that's so I'm like not even like a cool diagnose. I can't even be like an ice themed supervillain. If I'm like, I can't be like the bipolar bear.
Exactly. That was my problem. That was my problem.
I'm just kind of unhappy. Like that sucks.
Mm. Yeah.
It's always the way the well people such it's as yourselves true. Always mm. want an explanation. Like I must be crazy. And the crazy cool. people always say, no, I'm a drug addict. Yeah. Then well, the I drug just, addicts always say, well, it goes like that. Yeah.
It breaks down to like, everyone's just kind of a person, you know? And it's yeah. like,
true.
What does that help
well,
you?
Well, except like for the people that Jonathan Holmes looks after. I wouldn't classify those as people.
Yeah. Well, there are people whose chemicals...
They're concepts on legs, at best.
Their brains are different than
When I was 13, I had a chemical imbalance in my brain.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, that's proper, called being a teenager.
Well, no, I mean, I had proper depression, like, fascination with, like, stuff. Like, death and stuff, like proper obsessive sure. preoccupation. And they gave me some pills and mm-hmm. stuff. Like, it's only a brief thing. I've told this story on Podtoid, like ye olde Podtoid. During this sort of depressed phase of my childhood, my mother had the only video game she's ever really gotten into, she'd suddenly gotten into Super Mario Brothers 3, the NES classic.
Mm.
And that was constantly on in the house at the same time I had this sort of depressed, obsessive fear of death. So to the point where nowadays in my adult life, even though I'm very sort of more or less well adjusted and everything, whenever I see Super Mario Brothers or play Super Mario Brothers 3, it's associated in my mind with death and morbidity and fatality, and it's a weird thing. It's this because they were so together, like there was this period of time when utter dank futureless depression and Super Mario Brothers,
you know what,
were together.
I totally get that. I cannot see fish tacos on a menu without thinking of lesbians.
That's exactly the same thing.
It's a similar issue.
Oh well, that's I mean, and this is this is bad, but my wife, she makes like tuna salad and stuff, and my stepson likes it a lot. And every time he says, "I like my mom's tuna salad,"
wow,
I get told off because I just laugh really loudly, and then I'll look at the kids and I'll go, "Oh, I bet you do." Oh dear, I'm a great role model for any child. I don't think I mentioned this on Podtoid, but the other day he was in his room. I kicked the door violently open, burst in, and started going, "I'm a scat man!" Just
you must have loved that.
It scared the fucking shit out of him. It was
really?
It was brilliant.
You didn't think it was great? I would have thought it was great
as a
kid.
Kids these days have no taste for Scatman John.
No, absolutely
not. Or Scatman's World.
That's a real crying shame. It comes as a surprise, because I thought that was kind
Jimmy's
of timeless.
Jimmy's Chicken Shack at all, or Rednecks? Do they like those hits from that time period?
I don't know.
I mean, I kind of liked that one song from Jimmy's Chicken Shack, not going to lie.
I think I know what it is.
I don't remember it.
Hot Night Joe?
I actually recommend not Cotton Eye Joe, but their follow-up single, Old Poppin' an Oak. You might think that sounds very similar to the name Cotton Eye Joe. Well, they're pretty much the exact same song with different words. It's really worth checking out. It's a better
sounds
song.
Like good yeah. song.
Because you've got Cotton Eye Joe, Cotton Eye Joe, and then their big follow-up single, Oh Papa Dad, Oh Papa Dad, it's exactly the same.
I think like 90% of punk rock songs are the same chords as Skulls by the Misfits. It's just they're all the same actual notes.
I think we all felt a little bit betrayed when we found out that the Rednecks were Swedish and not actually Rednecks.
Yeah, and get this, fucking Lou Bega's a German.
Whoa, that's awesome. Yeah. I love stuff like that. I love trannies. I love black Germans. I love Swedish rednecks.
Yeah, but like, do they know about Mambo in Germany?
Yeah, of course they do.
Why?
In theory, they've read the book on Mambo.
They've just worried that maybe Lou Bega is one of those, like, you know how all those Nazis went to South America after, you know, World War II, like in The Boys from Brazil?
Yeah.
Maybe Lou Bega is one of them.
That makes me want to talk about my mom. I'll talk about her real quick.
Go on.
She was born into a religious commune that her grandfather started and they were German, or they were in Germany. But she was born in England. Hitler kicked him out. Stop me if you guys know this one.
Personally.
Right? Yeah.
He personally kicked them out.
He personally kicked them out. He told them, I won't kill you because you, my great-grandmother, was related to German aristocracy. So yes, the big question about my ethnicity. Am I part German? I am. I'm part German. Sorry.
Part Hitler, apparently.
Are you the Ubermensch?
I may be. I may be the
Are you master. The Iron Giant?
Yes, maybe.
On the head and forget what you're supposed to be doing here.
So the German...
Are you Judge Doom from Roger Rabbit?
Is that his name, Judge Doom? It is, isn't it?
Yeah, Judge Doom from Roger Rabbit. Right. Are you the Red Skull or not?
I still haven't seen the Captain America movies. Any good?
Be quiet. I'm trying to think of more German things.
Oh, okay. So while you do that, I'll quickly tell the rest of the story. So they kicked the whole commune out, but didn't kill them because they were related to German aristocracy, and Hitler really respected the kings and queens of Germany and their whole bloodline. Moved to England, where my mother was born. Then the English were like, what are all these Germans doing in here? And immediately kicked them out. So she grew up in mud houses in Paraguay. That's where she grew up. But if you're guessing I'm part Paraguayan, think again, because I may not be. Who knows?
Will you reveal on the next episode of Podtoid?
No, probably not. And I may say that was a lie, too. Yeah.
When I was growing up, I had this book on tape that was this, like, I think it was like African folk tales read by Whoopi Goldberg, and it was like Tales of Anansi. And what you just told me was so much like that. It just sounded.
When I have dreams of having sex with a woman that I don't want to have sex with, it's usually Whoopi Goldberg. She's just on me. And I'm like, no. I mean, you're all right. Oh, God. Yeah, it's a pretty bad dream.
Fantastic.
Oh, no. She's back in the habit.
It's more the Jumping Jack Flash era when she was like a bad girl cat burglar. Anyway,
Jonathan Holmes, are you the Nazi in Indiana Jones whose face comes off or not?
Clot? I am not.
Did
Clot.
You feed that monkey the bad dates?
Are you Victor von Goosewing from Count Duckula?
Oh, I forgot about Hines.
I fucking bought I got 4 boxes of Frankenberry and 4 boxes of Count Chocula from the internet.
Fantastic.
Whoa.
I'm going to have a monster festival in my house.
Stoner's breakfast.
Breakfast monsters. You know, I don't know if everyone else knows this, but everyone knows Frankenberry and Booberry and Count Chocula, the occult cereals. But I don't know if anyone remembers Yummy Mummy, the cinnamon mummy cereal, or Fruit Brute, which was a fruity werewolf. But I'd like to tell the internet that Fruit Brute at one point was a cereal, and somebody was actually like sitting in a meeting and they were like, hey, what if we had a werewolf cereal that was fruity? And someone else with money approved that idea.
It's a fantastic idea. Kids love werewolves and fruits. Put them together. What do you got? Money.
Samhain.
We should talk about video games soon. There's so much to talk about.
Oh, what, Jonathan?
I am excited that Max and Tara
celebrated
a birthday.
Oh, Jonathan!
They have successfully...
So Max, go for that panic button we were talking about last week. Can we actually do that? Because I hate myself.
Wow, where are you? What, you just like warped?
You're far away.
I keep. Yeah. Going, I get. It's this microphone. It twists and turns like an M. Night Shyamalan film. There we go. Sorry, I'm really sorry for getting overexcited and shouting.
I just got called by some random dude, and I picked up by accident.
On your cell phone?
Cellular? No, on Skype.
Oh, I didn't hear him.
I know. Who is he? Oscar Lidholm. I pushed the green button by accident and I was like, oh fuck. And he's like, oh, hello. And
I was Oscar like, Lidholm?
I don't know who it is.
Oh, they'll do that. They'll see you on Skype and they'll be like, oh, it's Tuesday. They usually record Podtoid. I will talk to them on Skype.
Dude, apparently he was successful. And I said, fuck. And he's like, what's up? And I'm like, who is this? I have to go. I'm recording a podcast. And he just went, it's 11 o'clock. I'm very tired. I don't know what
That's
just
so
happened.
Weird.
What? That guy sounds like an asshole.
Who just randomly calls people is what I want to know.
Yeah.
Not me. No, I don't call anybody.
I don't do that on the phone with people I know.
It was a Skypo.
Instead of a typo? Man, yeah. You're good.
Shut
you
up,
are
Holmes.
Good. You're good. I meant it. I'm not being sarcastic. You're good. You guys celebrated the birthday of the Destructoid show yesterday. Congratulations. It's amazing.
Thank
you carried
you.
It through. When the show started, we were all afraid we were going to be like that show. What was it called? The game show? And not last.
Yeah.
And you guys.
I wasn't afraid of that.
Well, you're very confident. I'm filled with fear a lot of the time. And you totally nailed it. The show's never
Thank
been
you.
Bigger. It's
Thank
doing
you
so good.
They're with us from the beginning, Holmes.
Yeah, I hope to be
gigantic shadow.
We're laying the foundation.
I'm getting a lot of "this dude sucks." Where's Max Scoville on my talking to women about video games video? So Max, just so you know, cuts
wow.
both ways.
That's when it happens. Wow. Familiarity breeds contempt for anything new.
Mm-hmm.
Familiarity killed the cat, and some and cloning stem cell research brought him back. Right.
That's right.
Yeah, thanks, Obama.
Okay, I've got a thing that I want to plug. I just signed up to be a bone marrow donor. And all I did was I went to this place and these people were like, hey, just take a swab of the inside of your mouth with this Q-tip. And I said, okay. And they're like, so sometime in the next few decades, someone might call you to be a bone marrow donor if there's a match. So you could save someone's life. So go do that or something.
That's great. Max Scoville there. Advertising
my
health.
Charity for
Isn't
the
it
retarded.
Really difficult to get bone marrow?
It apparently hurts kind of, but I was thinking
yeah,
about
it. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, don't they go through your shin or something?
They drill holes into the your pelvis, I think.
Fuck that.
Yeah. Hey Tara, we play fucking video games for a living. I felt like a jerk for that, so I was like, I'm going to do something nice. Cuz I mean, you know, it's sort of I guess sort of karma, you know. Pay
yeah,
it forward.
I guess.
Like that fucking Absolutely. Movie with that damn kid who sees ghosts.
I mean, I'll donate some plasma.
Plasma's good. People need that plasma. It's true. So you guys aren't talking a lot about how excited you are that the first birthday and stuff that. Aren't you excited?
Yeah. I mean, it was fun.
I remember the first episode. I saw it on the internet.
Yeah, I saw it too. I felt really weird after watching it.
Yeah, same here.
Sort of bad.
I think it was Fazunga, who's just been a fucking little thunderstorm of shits. Hovering over me since I started, he was
I
like,
don't know who "That is Fazunga."
He commented on the fucking that like birthday post and that shitter of rainbow parades, that ruiner. I was like, he was like, I like how Max acted like he was there from the beginning. No mention of Holmes except for that.
Oh, party. Come on!
I'm just like, God damn it!
I did forget to mention you at the end because they brought out cake, and then my mind just wandered.
There's not, no need to mention me per se.
No,
and
but...
they put a click. I'm still on the show sometimes. It's not like I'm dead and gone.
I want
to get you. Oh, remember Holmes? Yeah, I'm on whenever I can do a video review. You guys are always very gracious to host me.
What's your next
one? I don't know. I wanted to do the Bit Trip one, but I didn't have time. I tried to do it while jogging, actually. Do a video review of Bit Trip Saga and Bit Trip Complete, and then I just ran out of breath, and it sucked, and then I had to go to my day job. But Zach, producer on the Destructoid show, is always asking me to do stuff, so it's not like I'm gone. I'm just not regular anymore, like Max Scoville. It's gotten so good. Gotten
Some
so good, that
pills.
Show.
Yeah,
I talked to your doctor about regularity today.
It was a bit underhanded, I think, to just pretend that you were there from the beginning, Max.
It was pretty fucked up. Guess what?
The kind of thing a twat would do.
You know how, okay, here's the thing about my time on the Destructoid show. I started on the first episode of the new year of 2011. I've been there the whole time of 2011.
But you'd been on a couple of times before that, too.
Twice.
Oh, twice. Christmas twice. Episode and Christmas episode. The time I gave you flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know how in Spider-Man 1, Uncle Ben is killed by that guy who looks sort of like a Bruce Willis with frosted tips?
Oh, yeah. I love that guy.
Right. And then in Spider-Man 3, they're like, oh, no, wait. It was actually the Sandman.
Yeah.
That's me. I was actually there the whole time.
You were. You were manning the camera. No you were one believes teaching me how to be good at things. You giving me tips. You're always there.
You were a cameraman.
First criticism.
Well, you know, constructive. You were always constructive, trying to help me along. I can use all the tips I can get. I was always taking your tips. Good times. Nice,
man. Just the tips.
Yeah, I love those tips, man.
This conversation isn't about me. I'm really bored.
Yeah, let's talk about Jim Sterling and you're playing Alien.
Why the fuck aren't we talking about me? Talking about
tell
some
me about that Aliens game. I'm so excited about it. Tell me about
show on the internet. Jesus.
Jim, I had a great Gatorade last night.
Yeah?
I had a great one. Hold on. I'm going to go fucking get it and find out what kind of it was. I bought it, but I didn't. I thought it was red because it was dark out, but it was fucking fierce melon.
Oh, that is a good one.
It was a ferocious gourd of a fruit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I actually had sour melon Powerade this weekend, which I'd never had before. Sour melon, because Powerade, as I said on a previous episode, I've grown to really like it, but their flavors aren't as exotic as Gatorade. Gatorade, they push the boundaries, and they really sort of go out there, blow your mind. But Powerade, you know, trusty, dependable, like Tom Selleck. And they had, in the garage, the gas station garage, I'm doing my Americans, they had a sour melon, which I got, and it was tasty. And I ate it with candy that I stole from a shit party I went to.
Really?
Yeah. Huh.
That sounds great.
It was a good night, all told.
Damn, was this last night?
That was Saturday night.
Oh man, you've been partying it up. Is that what you've been doing?
Oh, I'm a party animal. I'm like Jim Belushi from Animal's House.
Animal's House.
The Animal's House.
You tell me about that Aliens game yet, Jim, please?
Just
a little. Just as much as you'd tell me in a
preview. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
How's the animation?
Like
how's it look?
It's good. Yeah? It's like, you know, it's all like, it's got a very 16-bit vibe to it, which is deliberate, I think. There's been a lot of comparisons to the old Alien 3 Genesis SNES game, which was good for the time. Aliens games have always been sort of, they've had a better track record than some licenses. And this was a real return to form. This is the game I've been wanting for years. Just a side-scrolling, shooting fucking game. And it's got that Metroid vibe to it. It's really fucking tough as well. Sometimes unreasonably so. Because those aliens, they can just, like, close huge gaps between themselves and you. And your roll mechanic doesn't even have, like, an invincibility on it, which I think was crucial.
Whoa,
they should have had that. But it's tough. Like, it's a tough game. But it's, most of the time, it's not like fucking Blood Rain, which is Wayford's last game, where they went totally overboard.
A lot of people really like that.
What, Blood Rain?
Blood Rain, yeah.
Yeah, well, but then a lot of people like Jersey Shore, which we've talked about before.
Hey now.
Well, did you play Contra 4? Did you play Contra 4, Jim? Contra 4? Did you play that?
Because
Contra, I've always loved how much it rips off Aliens. It was pretty much Konami trying to co-opt both Aliens and Commando and Rambo in one. And I think they did a fine job of it. But now it's the people who made Contra 4, way forward, actually getting to make an Aliens game. And in Contra 4, the aliens will just jump out and kill you, and you have to have split-second timing in order to avoid it.
Really, I mean, this is – like it encourages you not to run. Like, you edge forward, and you can kind of make out an alien shape in the wall, and then you get just close enough to shoot at them, and then they'll burst out of the wall, or they'll come out of floors and ceilings and stuff.
That sounds pretty legit, though.
My only problem with it is, once an alien's out, it can close the gap between itself and you, like, double quick, and every time they hit you, you'll fall to the ground, but, like, you can be shooting them with a smart gun, and they'll only stagger a little bit, and then they can choose whenever they want to shrug off the attacks. But no, I mean, it's good. I just wish that the dodge was a bit better. Because otherwise, some of those hits, I don't think there's a way to avoid them. I think some of these hits are designed, like, they're gonna hit you. Which, again, might be a deliberate thing on their part, but it can get a bit annoying.
Sure.
I mean, like, the game is tense. Like, absolutely, it's tense. For a DS game, it can be pretty scary. But it can also be annoying. And once you cross over into that irritation threshold, it can, you know, it can reduce the tension completely. But otherwise, no, it's a really good game. I've already fought, like, monkey aliens.
Ooh, I didn't think that was going to happen.
I fought an alien that's like their idea of a space jockey alien. The space jockey is the big other alien you see in the first Alien film on the spaceship, like the big creature. You don't fight one of those. You fight a xenomorph that burst out of one of their chests.
And it's the
stupidest fucking looking thing. It looks like Alf from the TV show Alf. Like, it's big and brown, has eyes for some reason, and a trunk. It's the stupidest thing. The monkey aliens are cool, though. What else is there? No, it's just really good. They used, like, all legit sound effects and stuff. My only problem is they got the elephant squeal that the aliens do in Aliens, the whole meow kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But the aliens don't do it when they get shot. They scream it, like, as a threat, which I think you'll find isn't what they do. It's something they make when they die. I know so much about aliens.
Speaking of aliens, right now I'm wearing a red elastic headband and a headset microphone, and I'm pretty sure I look like, who's that one? Not Apone, the girl who does the pull-ups.
Vasquez.
I look like a white male. I look like if Vasquez and Bill Paxton had a baby.
Brilliant.
Like a gangly, stupid white boy wearing a headband.
Who was she dating? Some guy? People are so disappointed she's straight. She's like a lesbian role model, and then she likes a dude.
Oh, how dare she!
I know.
How dare she?
She should not. She should be what other people want her to be in order to prove that you don't have to buy into expectations.
She should be punching cunts daily. How dare she?
There is kind of a weird irony when people want someone to be something specifically that they want in order to prove that people don't have to be what other people want them to be. Like Poison from Final Fight, Jim.
What?
Poison from Final Fight?
What about Poison from Final Fight?
Poison from Final Fight. There's a group of people saying she should be transgendered.
Yeah, she should.
To prove that you don't have to have just biological women.
You see, my motives are different.
Okay, tell me more.
Because I just think she should have a big fat cock. Because that would be awesome, and I would high-five her every day. That is why. Like, that just makes her hotter, knowing that she's got, like, just, like, a huge, like, oh, God, it's like a draft excluder. Just in there. Just, like, she has to tape it to her leg. It's so fucking big. Oh, my God.
That in Japan.
And her mom's pubis is all pink and all.
Oh, no. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yes, Max?
I saw this great anime.
Oh, what is it?
It's on Netflix. It's called Rin.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. I put it on because I was reading the description, and it's like, oh, yeah, it's about an immortal private eye who likes vodka and attracts the strange. And I'm like, this sounds like it could be a lot of fan service. It is like the most excessive, unnecessary nudity I've seen in an anime in a long time.
Huh.
And it's really dumb. Like there's this part where she's like, you know, escaping from this bad person's lair, and then it shows like for exposition the part where like all the henchmen like call up the head bad lady, and instead of calling her up and she's like sitting at a desk, you know, and she answers the phone and she's like, "Get them, you fools!" She's just in the shower, like she's taking a shower, and there's like an intercom on the wall. And there's absolutely no reason that she needs to be naked in that scene. But for some reason, she's naked. It's not a very good show. It's very bad.
Doesn't sound that good.
It's
no,
funny really. As hell, though.
Unintentionally funny?
It's just kind of rapey and...
Rapey!
It's,
Good old
like
baby.
It's like Highlander if it was hentai, sort of. Highlander Blade Runner.
Highlander Blade Runner.
And then I think she's a lesbian, and then there's like a vampire angel or something. It's stupid. It's fucking stupid.
Wow. You watched it.
Yeah.
You put up with a lot of stuff. I'm always impressed with how much you're willing to just tolerate out of things. It's pretty impressive. Yeah. I can't do it. I space out. I like stare at a wall. I tried watching Jurassic Park 3 in movie theaters, and I just stared at the corner of the theater. Just
well, that's because that movie sucked.
Yeah, and so does this Rin thing doesn't sound that great.
This is kind of I put it on sort of as a joke, and Jen kind of looked at me like, "You have a problem." And I was like, "Look, I just want to see some fucking like big old Japanese cartoon tits flying around everywhere."
Fair
enough. This probably will have them. And she's like, "Yeah, okay." And then it just kept getting worse, and we're like, okay, there's like some torture porn thrown in here. And I was just like, how bad can this get? So I watched like 3 episodes. It's pretty dumb. I just like watching bad things. I think they're cool.
I've just been told that the stuff is great.
You want to see how bad it can get?
I've just been told that the Insecticons might be in the new Transformers game. That makes me very happy. Just thought I'd say.
Really?
So that's classic Insecticons?
Or kind just of. Like
some new things that are called Insecticons?
It's that, the new the War for Cybertron sequel.
Which is kind of like the
I mean it's the best we'll get. It was a really good game, the first one. But the Dinobots are in it and Insecticons are in it, which is awesome.
I like
that. Yeah, that sounds good.
I like Grimlock.
Sure, I like all those guys.
He's fucking stupid.
But they all are.
What if he went to community college? What if there was like a Transformers spinoff that was like Cybertron Community College, and it was just about Grimlock going to general ed classes, trying to learn?
Well, they're much more developmentally disabled than that. It's more like that's what it's like working at the day program I used to work at was just developmentally disabled adults, just like
Jonathan. All day. They're robot dinosaurs.
Yeah, it's exactly
the same
thing.
Why would you make a dumb dinosaur robot?
Why wouldn't I? I think it's pretty neat. They punch and bite.
But who made the Transformers? Who made the Dinobots, and why are they so stupid?
Who made the? That's a good question.
Because it was the Primes, right? That was it. Like
there is a Dinobot Prime. Yeah.
No, okay. in the original cartoon, and I'm going totally off memory, they were made on Earth, and their dumbness was not deliberate. It was the result of a fuck up somewhere, I think.
By a human? Did a guy?
No, I think it was made by other like Transformers.
Is Baxter Stockman?
They did. Yes, it was Baxter Stockman.
You know what's weird is I read the original fucking Ninja Turtles comics, and originally Baxter Stockman, instead of being like Woody Allen with like a bow tie and like a part insect, he's like this black dude who invents the Mouser robots, and he has them go after the World Trade Center.
Oh yeah, I used to read those all the time. He was the black nerd comedy guy before the black nerd comedy guy was a guy.
Ooh,
you know that guy, Black Nerd Comedy? It's got a popular web page.
Oh,
on the internet, yeah.
On the information superhighway, log on to the website.
Oh wow!
For all you internet whiz kids out there,
he's a pretty funny guy. He's a nice guy. He does some video game reporting sometimes. Not really, just whenever. And then Mass Effect 3's co-op stuff was announced, and the people went wild, didn't they?
Oh, they went wild with excitement. I mean, it's obviously something everyone's wanted. I think that's what. I think every review of every Mass Effect game ever has always said would be better with co-op. Therefore, I'm only going to give it 5 out of 10 because it's half a game. You go on Metacritic, 50% Metacritic average, no multiplayer. Like every summary down that list, IGN, 50, no multiplayer. GameSpot, 50, no multiplayer. I do believe that Eurogamer at one point said, no multiplayer, also no online pass, WTF.
40. They wanted the online pass. They wanted it.
40% for that, because they were like, It's not a game if I'm not putting in a 25-digit passcode with on fucking Xbox's laggy fucking input system with a fucking controller. Where's the fun game experience in that? In fact, why don't we just go back to the Commodore 64 days and put fucking cassettes in and let them load for half an hour? Jesus fucking ass.
I did like typing in load quotes star quotes comma 8 comma 1. I did enjoy that.
It was always fun because when the thing would load, you'd see the loading screen would have to slowly draw itself, and then you'd hear.
Yeah, sometimes rainbows would come on the screen. Rainbows.
Oh yeah, there's like all different Technicolor images. Sometimes those like bleeps and bloops and the screeching of the machine would sound quite. My friend Leo pointed out it's quite melodic. Could be could make a CD and put it on iTunes. Put a CD on iTunes and people will buy it. Sounds of the Spectrum.
So, some people, in all seriousness, from what I know, don't like the idea of multiplayer in Mass Effect 3. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah,
well, I think that's just because they expect that it'll get fucked up.
Yeah, they're expecting the worst for some reason.
Mass Effect, I like Mass Effect all right. I don't quite understand how it's so popular. I think really? It's cool. Yeah, it's cool. Like, I like it. I mean, I'm just trying to fend off anyone who gets mad at me for saying I don't get why it's so popular. But I mean, it's, you know, it's an RPG. And the whole action part of it is all the action parts of it. It feels sort of like they kind of, like they took the boring parts from like a turn-based RPG. And made them a little bit more gamey.
The Mass Effect 1 or 2? Because 2 is a lot more to shooting. Yeah.
Right.
First one's more RPG-ish.
Okay.
People want to be in a sci-fi land with aliens and sex and drama and a problem to be solved by a hero who's the chosen one.
I should just point out that I'm kind of with Max, except where he says he kind of likes the game and he wants to fend off people because he doesn't quite get how it's popular. I think anyone who even vaguely enjoys the game is a functionally retarded rapist. And I just say that just so I don't upset anyone. Just so I don't upset anyone. A fun rapist, you know.
A fun rapist?
I did fucking have sex with my space secretary.
People want to have sex and save the world and meet a frog guy and feel important and have a drama. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, it's like multiplayer is being shoved into everything now. That's pretty obvious. We have games that never needed it, like Dead Space and Metro 2033 bringing it out. And I think it just seems kind of fitting that a lot of the ones that are putting these multiplayer things into games that don't need them are THQ and EA, Ubisoft, you know, these kinds of companies that are at the forefront of the online pass thing. And to me, a lot of people are trying to justify this multiplayer to me by saying, well, they had the Cerberus network in Mass Effect 2 where, you know, you put in a code and you got lots of free DLC, which I think is a bit different, especially when it just looks like that won't be in this one. Like, they clearly, it takes a lot less effort to just sell you the DLC, like, individually, because then you make more money and still have an online pass, but this time for some shitty little multiplayer mode that they've contrived and pulled out their ass. I'm guessing it's going to be that. Time will tell. But
you know what? I'll say this about the multiplayer in Mass Effect, is at least it's like a new thing that you can kind of say in like one word, like that's what's new in the game,
right? Because I have Kinect support too.
Is Kinect support?
Yeah, you can tell a guy. Oh, you know,
right. I heard about that.
The final solution was a new thing for Germany.
Okay. Well, anyway, what I was saying is, I hate with these threequels when people are like, "How is the new one?" And I'm like, "Well, did you play the first two?"
Right.
Well, follow that trajectory. Like, you can kind of sort of figure out where it's going to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like they must know that the Mass Effect loyal are going to buy it no matter what, and they're going to want this game to grow the franchise's install base if they can. So the only way to do that is to add new features that maybe no one is going to care about. But if they don't try, then they
I don't think that's what it's about. I think it's purely about this fucking online pass shit. I see no other reason for it. No one has ever asked for multiplayer in Mass Effect. They're doing it to justify that fucking lockdown on the used game shit. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not... I don't know. I think people want multiplayer and everything now before even online passes. There's a... They're not as vocal as most of the people on Destructoid, but there's a large contingent of gamers who are like, oh, well, if you can't play it online, then I should just rent it.
But they never do. They never play it. It's like... I looked at games that have online in, fucking, that never needed it. Dark Sector and Overlord. It's like, they're not playing these. They go straight back to Halo and Call of Duty. It's like, you've got your multiplayer game. You're only ever gonna just play Halo and Call of Duty over and over again. You don't need multiplayer in everything because you don't have time for multiplayer in everything. You're still trying to get your prestige rank in Call of Duty. Play that, you greedy little bastard!
Okay, that's logic.
Play my single player game on my own.
That is good logic.
They should just sell it as fucking expansion packs. Like, if there's a demand for that, figure that shit out. Don't waste the money of making the game good. It's just stupid.
Absolutely, I'd love it if the game came out.
I mean,
like,
you guys haven't even seen it yet, though.
It looks retarded. It looks like a shitty fucking game.
Whoa.
Mass Effect 2 is great. Mass Effect 3 looks like fucking garbage. Not really. It looks about the same.
It's pretty much the same game, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I played it for fucking 10 minutes. I shot a robot, and I got to stab some motherfuckers with my lightsaber. And it's like, people are mad at me from the PAX video because I didn't like go into enough detail. And it's like, motherfucker, it's like a long goddamn game. Like, it's,
well, they're just jealous of you. I mean,
yeah.
Of course, they're just going to get mad because you got to play it and they didn't. So you played it wrong. You should have done better.
You little shits. I'm going to go play fucking Skyrim for fucking 3 hours, cocksuckers.
Hey, when are you doing that?
I should probably
preview it properly. Just tell him about the fish again.
I'm fucking gonna. No, that's the thing is, I get all this shit because people are like, "Oh, he doesn't know anything about Elder Scrolls," and I'm like. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, your mom's a little few years older than me, but I still want to fuck her. What's your point? Like,
yeah, just talk about that instead.
Why does that have anything to do with anything?
Fuck you, Sarah. I'm going to talk about the fish some more. No, it's just, I hate that, you know, I haven't played Morrowind. I haven't played, like, Oblivion. It's the fifth fucking Elder Scrolls game. They've made some other ones. I haven't played those. I played, like, a little bit. I've played other open world RPGs like that. Skyrim looks fucking good. It looks like a good game. I'm excited about this game as a game, not as a sequel. Like,
yeah, that's what they want you to be excited about. Like I was saying,
you want me to be excited about this addition to the Elder Scrolls franchise. And I'm
but the developers are like, this guy didn't really care that much about our past games, but they're excited about this game. We've done our jobs right. They want to please the old fans, but draw in as many new fans as they can. So they're going to be happy that you don't care.
But the thing is,
yeah,
Bethesda have never had to hide behind fucking shitty tacked-on multiplayer modes to do it. So fair play to them.
I thought Skyrim had multiplayer. No!
That is a proper game. And I say this as someone who likes multiplayer modes, but at the same time, I don't have enough mental brain space to dedicate myself to like 30 different online careers. Like, when you pick a game, when you pick an online game, most people pick an online game. One, because that's about all the time you've got. Like, when you're trying to get 50 ranks in Call of Duty, you haven't got time to then, like, dedicate to Metro or Dead Space. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
there doesn't need to be that many multiplayer games. And I say this as someone who likes it, but as someone who also appreciates that there's a market for single-player games that do well, because if they didn't, we wouldn't have L.A. Noire being one of the biggest selling IPs of the year. We wouldn't have had Bioshock being the third best selling game in 2007. We wouldn't have fucking just some others. I had the ball in my head and they just went. But you know what
I mean. Oh, you sure. Yeah, you don't talk enough about Wii games, Jim.
There's plenty of... What?
Talk about all those Wii games that sold all that stuff without any multiplayer.
Oh, God.
Come on.
Yo,
talk about them, Jim.
That new Zelda looks like fucking awesome.
Yeah, Zelda's going to be good. That's probably going
to
do well.
I fucking actually want to go to get a goddamn Wii for that. Oh, yeah. I guess what? Funny story, guys. I forgot to tell. This is a really exciting thing. I fucking got a real TV that I can see things on.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool. It's got
fucking
a picture?
It's so exciting. It's so fucking exciting.
How many definitions has it got?
It's got like 100.
Wow.
It's so... It's fucking definition as high as a kite. It's retarded. No, it's like getting LASIK. Like, I just can suddenly see shit. Like, I haven't even played any games on it. I played Deus Ex for like 10 minutes. I've mostly just been going on Netflix and reading the descriptions because I finally can. Holy shit, I can understand what this is about. But yeah, that's cool. I'm going to hook up my NES and play some Ghosts and Goblins because I can't afford Dark Souls right now.
It's pretty similar experience, I think.
I know.
I have to go away for a second. I'll be right back. I'll be back soon.
Fuck you. I was looking through Skyrim. Jim, you saw those motherfucking Skyrim screenshots, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to go through and I want to add speech bubbles, just appropriately placed speech bubbles that just say, fuck you, in impact font all over all of them. Because it pretty much works for every single one of them.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Hello, Jonathan.
Oh, hi.
Jonathan.
Yes, Jim.
We talked about Skyrim.
Uh-huh. And
we talked about aliens.
Uh-huh.
Aliens.
But
Halo.
We didn't talk about what you have played this week.
I have played Radio Allergy 2 on the Nintendo Wii.
What? You made that up?
Nope. Japanese only. Shoot 'em up.
Oh, okay. It all makes sense now.
I enjoy it a lot. It cost me $10 when I was in Tokyo last year. I barely got to play it, so I decided to suddenly play it, and I loved it. It's really funny and fun. And I played something on the PlayStation 3 there. Oh yeah, Child of Eden. I tried. Did you guys? You saw the talking to women about video games with the accordion lady?
Yeah.
What? After that, we went back to my video editor's place and started uploading the footage, and I showed them Child of Eden. And it was like 2 minutes. Both my video producer and the woman with the accordion were like, "This shit sucks." They really hated Child of Eden. They thought it was idiotic and pretentious and long-winded and stupid and boring. They hated it a lot, which I was surprised by because a lot of people love that game. They hated it. And I got Portal 2. I finally got around to buying that. So, yeah, it's a good game there. Played it.
I didn't know you liked military shooters, Holmes.
I don't, really. I like military.
First-person shooter.
Oh, Portal 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I
don't play Portal. I play Ritual. Ritual 3 is my favorite game I've been playing.
You know what game I like that was like an action movie was the Die Hard games on the Sega Saturn and the Dreamcast. Where you play like a pseudo John McClane and there's a big bearded cyborg who's like, "I'm taking over this town." And you gotta just beat them all up.
I only ever played the light gun game that was on the PS1.
Oh, I never played that. What was that like?
It was okay. You shot people in an airport.
No Russian.
No, these games, they wanted to get the Die Hard license, but they didn't, so then they spin it, which makes it
easier. It was called The Hard.
Yeah, exactly. It was like the hard. I heard you gotta kill cops in Battlefield 3 or something?
Yes. Apparently, there is a level where you have to kill, like, cops in France. And Eurogamer asked EA about it, and they were like, "Why you gotta kill cops?" And someone from EA got back to them and said, "You don't understand the gravity of the situation. There's a..." Oh no, that was it. "That, for God's sake, there's a nuke in Paris." Which is
that is pretty much the best.
Yeah.
Because you can't fault them on it. They're acting as though... I mean, if you act as though killing virtual fake cops in a video game is as serious as killing real cops, then by proxy, that fictional nuke is just as serious, and you have to...
Well, it would have been very easy for them to do the usual thing of, wanted to try to tell a story, wanted to talk about the messages and push the boundaries in the wood. Instead, it's like, "There's a nuke in Paris, for fuck's sake! Go! Kill everyone! Save the world! Damn it!"
Yeah, it's meeting them right where they're at. That nuke is just as important as those cops.
What is that noise? Who's playing with sellotape?
Nothing. Not me. And my cat was rubbing something. My little cat.
My little cat.
I do like cats. It's kind of weird. Yeah, I like them.
What are you guys doing? Hey, can we do some questions? Because I should probably start getting out of here soon.
All right, well, I gotta go play Skyrim. I did want to ask if Tara had anything she wanted to talk about.
I played The Darkness, too, this week, which was really awesome. I actually can't believe that we hadn't covered it really before, like, preview-wise.
They haven't done a lot to give us to cover for it. They've been quite quiet about it.
Well, I know they had some demo at E3, and then they had one at PAX, which we did a video for, but there was really no written coverage at all. So I guess this is the first preview that we did. Mine just went up this morning, so go check it out if you're interested in that game. It looks really cool, actually. There's quad wielding. And,
yeah, how does that work?
Skill tree. Basically, you control your like demon arms with the left and right bumpers. And one of them grabs things and the other one like slashes them. And then you dual wield with the left and right triggers. You've got pistols and stuff. And they've added quite a few.
At that point, it's just all... Oh, that's okay. What were you saying? They added some RPG elements to the game?
I mean, yeah, they added a skill tree. So there's all sorts of crazy like finishing moves you can do now. They've really kind of tightened things up a little bit, and this is definitely on my list of anticipated games for next year now.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Nice. It's looking good. I haven't been able to track down a copy of the first one in stores. I need to get it because I played the demo of the first one and it looked pretty good, but this second one looks great and I don't want to touch the... I've got a thing. I'll do it if I need to, but I don't really like jumping into sequels before I played the last ones because I'm not like an ignorant Elder Scrolls twat like Max. You don't know nothing about the Elder Scrolls, man.
Well, the story is also a pretty big part of the game.
As the same guy? The first one? Oh, okay.
Even if it's a game that has no story, like I'll get upset if I've got to play something like Time Crisis and I haven't played. I can't follow the story. Who's the terrorist? it's a pedantic thing.
First game is the one where you could sit down and watch the entirety of To Kill a Mockingbird.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
In the actual game.
Then you get an achievement for that as well.
Yep.
I think so.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's pretty neat. They had some creative ideas. They really tried to characterize gross, stupid people in an accurate way in that game. So I'll give them kudos for that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Fair play to them. Fair play to them.
What?
Yeah, I think I have Hans's copy, but Kara and I broke it for no reason.
What'd you break?
The Darkness. We had Hamza's copy of The Darkness, but we broke it.
At GameStop. You can get
a copy of Saints Row back.
Yeah, you can.
Let's go buy that.
I believe you can go into GameStop and just like play a song on a lute and they will give it to you. it's that cheap now used.
Yeah, games are getting pretty cheap.
Just tell them a tale of an adventurous bard who slew a dragon. And if they're entertained enough, to take their mind off the troubles and the harrowing winters ahead, then they'll give you that, a flagon of ale, and some skins for your to warm your hide and make a new loincloth and jerkin. Yeah, I confused GameStop with medieval fantasy again. It happens. I always get the two mixed up.
Speaking of medieval fantasy, did you know that Dragon Quest X will be potentially you'll have to be online in order to play it?
Oh God!
But the new Wii that is coming out has no Wi-Fi at all. It could be the dumbest thing I've seen happen in Nintendo World in a few months. Yeah, this whole week.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's a shocker. I mean, clearly Nintendo just wants to make more profit off of each Wii they sell, so they're churning out Wiis with less guts. Yeah. They're just crappier Wiis. It's not like, oh, the new Wii, it's great. So no, it lacks GameCube backwards compatibility, and it lacks online. Yeah. And yet their biggest game for next year is, I think you have to log on, even if you're not playing with anyone else online, you just kind of have to be online in order to play.
Yeah, it's like constant connectivity.
Yeah, I hope that they take that back.
Nintendo's a bit of a cunt when you think about it.
I've never heard anyone say anything like that before, Jim.
I just saying, when you... I mean, I know I'm sort of thinking out the box here, but when you really look at it... I got a card from Nintendo today.
You did?
I received a greetings card. It says, Happy National Fossil Day. And it's got images and logos for the game Fossil Fighters Champions.
Oh, yeah. That's the new Fossil Fighters coming out.
Yeah. Tara, stop playing around on your desk.
Sorry.
I can see your... When I hear that noise, I can see your name flashing up on the Skype. And if you're chewing gum, I hope you brought enough for the whole class.
No, I'm not chewing gum.
Well...
Sorry, sir.
Neither am I. No, neither of us are. Yeah, it's they can. It's Square Enix, though. They're the ones who made the boneheaded move to make their game always online.
Boneheaded. Yes. It's National Fossil Day today. Did you know that? Nintendo told me. It says in the card, "Hope you're digging," and that's in quotes so that you know it's clever. Hope you're digging
our archaeology pun that we've made.
National Fossil Day, and it says celebrate and unearth fossil fighters champions for Nintendo DS, available November 14th.
Hey, man,
geography
is where it's at.
Yeah.
What do they think we're like?
This ties in with what you were saying, Jonathan.
Yes.
It's where I'm getting to. Because when I tweeted this, I had about 20 people say, how ironic. Nintendo celebrating National Fossil Day.
Because they're old?
Hey guys. You know that part in Bad Santa where where Thurman Merman, the weird fat kid, he makes the wooden pickle for Billy Bob Thornton?
Yep.
He goes up to him and he's like, I made you this, Santa. What is it, kid? And it's like, it's a pickle. It's a wooden pickle. Why is it red? Because I bled all over it. That's what Nintendo does. That's like Nintendo's entire business model.
Absolutely.
They make a wooden pickle and bleed all over. It's amazing, like, though, because it's working, though, right? I mean, they're not losing. They're not dying money-wise. So whatever they're doing, still making money, dog. I don't know,
they're basically Lex Luthor at this point, and we are all Superman. It's like, we know how fucked up they are, but they still continue to make money and sit there, bald, thinking, ha ha ha, you can't touch me, Supes. Which is a short name for Superman.
Yeah, he calls him that sometimes.
Yeah. That's true. Jerry, just dropping my DC knowledge on you.
Oh, I enjoyed that. Yeah, yeah. You reading those
guys,
DC comics?
I heard that the Joker might die in Arkham City.
I am not legally allowed to say anything about Arkham City.
I heard that Batman might die too.
The game that I beat this week.
I heard that the Joker might die in Superman 64.
Arkham
City gets two.
So they're saying they can't make a good Superman game. Rocksteady, the people who made the good Batman game, they're like, we couldn't make a good Superman game though because Superman, he sucks.
Do you know about...
You kind of can't, because, like, Batman, even though he's awesome, there's vulnerability to him. Mm-hmm. Like, it's believable that he could get the shit kicked out of him by enough people. Mm-hmm. Whereas Superman, it's that whole problem of his... It's like the Bible. Like, you read the Bible, and there's no drama in there, because it's like, well, God can just click his fingers and the devil will fall over, like, really embarrassingly, and everyone will point at him and go, stupid devil, you're a twat. And it's like, there's no... You read the devil bits in the Bible thinking they're going to be awesome and it will be like legend and he'll be like Tim Curry going, boy! And he's not. He's presented as a goof, as a harmless stooge, existing only to make Jesus look good. And there's no tension in that. The Bible's that, like... You know, no offense to anyone who likes the Bible, but it's badly written. You need to get Quentin Tarantino up in that chair.
Every fucking sentence in that book is starting with and. And they went and did this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was good.
It's like a 7-year old telling you what you did at school.
You show it. You show it. You don't tell it. Show.
But all that stuff, that stuff happened, though.
You don't start a fucking sentence with "and." I mean, it's like a James Frey book, really. It's just the grammar. And
James Frey? Is that the guy who's saying beautiful?
No, he's the guy who wrote.
No, that's James Blunt.
Oh, I mix up my phrase and Blunt.
He's like, did you know? Really shitty Zanga. Wait, Zanga. That's the old one.
Did you know that Jesus once raised the devil in an occult ceremony?
No, I didn't know that.
It's in one of those pages that have been, like, not put in the Bible. One of those ones that, that a priest somewhere just decided, that bit's not real. I'll take that out.
Isn't there a part where he, like, when he was a teenager, didn't he just, like, kill a guy for no reason? Like, by accident?
He did something where he let someone die. I know that much. It was like, it was basically just fuck you. I'm Jesus.
Yeah.
To get back to the original point.
Hey, I'm telling you about the time I raised the devil. A bunch of people were like, oi, Jesus, show us the devil. And Jesus was like, nah, nigga, I ain't showing you no devil. That's how he talks. He's very straight. And they're like, you fallen Jesus. Show us the devil. And he did. He brought him up. And I guess they don't show it because it's a very different devil that's as presented in I guess, the director's cut. The theatrical version, rather. And the devil comes out, like, clasped in irons, as if he's just sort of another, like, prisoner of hell. And it's an interesting story.
That happened in one of my Daredevil comics where they go with Doctor Strange in it and... I think Mephisto's there, and he's like, I can't see you, but I know you're there. Huh. Daredevil.
Daredevil or Doctor Strange?
Daredevil. What? They go together. It's stupid.
They do hang out. I think they're both in the Defenders at one point. I was going to say that, as you all know, DC Comics relaunched 52 of their titles over the past couple months. You've been thinking about it all night, Max Scoville. What's going to happen in Swamp Thing? You've been thinking about it. You can't stop wondering.
You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen in the next Starfire? Is I'm going to fucking jerk off to that comic. That's what's going to happen.
That comic's actually caused quite a bit of controversy because
she's fucking having sex with people.
And she just it doesn't stand like a normal human being. She's always got her butt sticking as far out as possible. She doesn't
know how to. Space. She's from fucking space.
It's like, their butts are
that's
out.
That's fucking stupid.
She's rocking the space butt.
These fucking
Jim.
These fucking ladies, they get all upset when there's like a girl who's like a girl alien and she just wants to go around having sex with boys and standing all sexy like. But like when there's a boy alien and he's just flying around fucking putting out fires and fighting aliens and saving the day. Like how do you know that Superman doesn't want to have a bunch of casual sex, but he feels pressured to do something else?
It's pretty racist as well. Like she's an alien girl. It's like she shouldn't conform to your standards. She's an alien, you racist, if she wants to have sex with her.
God, there's just so much sexism right now.
Against aliens?
In my apartment.
Against who? You? Or what?
I don't
try to rationalize
it. It's just true. It's just
after
what
after playing Arkham City though, I want to get into some more comics because I never did because they're so confusing and there's so many like.
I can write you some recommendations, Jim. I'll give you some.
Yeah, I'll take some. I like the Scarecrow.
Oh, I was so close to telling you guys something.
And I'm actually getting into the. Hold on a second. I'm talking about comics.
I was so close. I was the one who brought it up, and I was going
to
tell you something.
What do you want to tell us?
It's not going to take very long. Okay. I promise.
No, just a few seconds.
The point I was going to make, yes. Is that those Batman guys, Rocksteady, said that Superman, nope, he's no good. They just relaunched Superman.
Well, I've heard that Bebop might want to make a Superman
Bebop
game.
My point was that.
What should we do with the turtles, boss?
Let's make a Superman game!
Was this close? Superman relaunched by
Rocksteady Bebop! Shredder! Who left an Egg McMuffin on the console?
Superman relaunched.
Bebop and Rocksteady, I have to send you back to Dimension X.
Superman was relaunched by Grant Morrison, who's a good comics writer. Sometimes he screws up really bad. What? He did it like 2 months ago. And he did really good. Huh?
What about All-Star Batman?
Yeah, he did that a while back. But he relaunched Superman. with Action Comics, and it's more like what if Superman was crossed with Spider-Man? He can't fly. He can jump like how he did in the original newspaper strip. So, you know, he can jump over a tall building in a single bound. But he gets beat up. He gets gassed. He gets his ass kicked. They put him in the electric chair in issue 2, and he takes a beating. And it's really good.
You see, that's the problem with Superman as he's been sort of popularized. There isn't tension there because he's fucking invincible.
It's tense. Trust
me. That's what I'm saying. No, it sounds
now
like,
it's tense.
Yeah, what you said sounds good.
Yeah, guys, I gotta check it out. I was gonna say a thing about I think Superman in video games is sort of like Attuck, the never made movie about the Eskimo. Which is actually, it kills people. It's a cursed screenplay that's been floating around Hollywood. You can look this up. It's on the internet. At one point or another, John Belushi, Sam Kinison, John Candy, and Chris Farley were all going to be involved in this.
Oh, what a
character.
And then they died before they could.
They died. It's a fucking haunted,
wait a minute.
It's a haunted Eskimo screenplay.
Fat actors. Some of which were on drugs, mysteriously died.
Yeah, because it's a haunted screenplay.
That's what killed them. It was the ghosts, not the coke and T-bone steaks.
Fuck no, man. Those things counteract each other. You're cool.
That's just Atkins.
It's cursed, Jim.
Yeah.
It's a cursed Eskimo screenplay.
Get you.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'll volunteer for the role next, and then we'll see what happens when I'm
dead. I'm not going to let you.
Anyone's
playing an Eskimo, it's Jonathan Holmes, obviously.
I am.
Guys, I have to go.
Bye, Max.
I have to go play
Skyrim. It's great having you on the show. I hope you enjoy it.
Jonathan Holmes is a Nazi Eskimo.
Are you really part Eskimo, Holmes?
I might be.
I've been telling people you're Afro-Norwegian.
Keep telling them that.
Just for
I say space Eskimo most of the time. Anyway, I'll talk to you guys later. Have fun with the questions. My favorite part of the show that I'm never here for because I always have to go play cool video games or buy shelves. Goodbye.
Hard life.
Doesn't even deserve to play Skyrim because he doesn't do it with the Elder Scrolls.
Man, what are the Elder Scrolls? Are they just some words or something?
They're just something that exists so that the Fezda can sue Minecraft.
Oh, yeah, they're still doing that, right?
Yeah, that is what happens on the internet. Bethesda is suing Minecraft, guys. Oh, God. Yeah, it's not their fault. I mean, it's the fucking fucked up legal system that means they've got to do it, otherwise they'll lose their rights in the future. It's a weird thing. It's like...
Just the word scrolls, though? Can't they just say, well, you know, since you're not saying Elder Scrolls, we won't get mad at you.
I think they have to pursue it as a matter of, they've got to pursue it just to make sure that, you know, someone doesn't come out later with the Elba Scrolls, the Elbow Scrolls, and then they try and stop them, and they're like, well, you let this other game go, there's a legal precedent.
I don't know.
It's a fucked up situation of, like, covering tracks and laying safety nets.
Who told them that you have to do that was the lawyers who are getting paid. That's what the lawyers tell you.
You have a legal requirement to protect your trademarks. The Doodle Jump guy did it as well. Like, he's issued cease and desists to anyone on the iTunes store with a game that had Doodle in the name. Not really because he wanted to, but because he had to. So that when someone does come out with, like, Doodle Pump, he can protect Doodle Jump. It's a fucked up system, and it's not... It is one that benefits the lawyers, you're absolutely right, but... Mm-hmm.
It's
gotta be done. They have an obligation to protect their trademark against...
You have to. It's required, you said. Interesting. I didn't know it. I didn't know that. Yep. Should we do the questions there?
Yeah,
let's do them.
D5 Gravity, who's been sending a lot of tips into Destructoid.
He told me I was his mentor a few times. It was quite flattering. I'm not worthy to be his mentor, and he must like me, I guess. Anyway, what did he want to know?
He actually separated Max. He just asked Max to say something funny. But he's gone now. He did his job. Tara Holmes and Jim, he says, what do you think of the price debate? Should a game be reviewed with price in mind? If not, why? Some gamers can't justify paying €70 for a new game unless it's really amazing.
I definitely think price should be taken into consideration with reviews, and I figured everybody kind of did that. Obviously, you're not going to evaluate a downloadable, you know, $10 title the same you would as a $60 AAA.
Yeah, some sure. people are against it. I've seen reviewers debate it in the past, and there are people that are like, oh no, it should never, because the reviews will be obsolete after a week or two when the price goes down, or they're like, a good game is a good game no matter how much it costs. But at the same time, it's like, Angry Birds is good, but it's a dollar. I would never pay $60 for Angry Birds, as much as it's a good game, you know?
Yeah. I think it's similar to graphics in that, you know, a DS game may look worse in a way than a PS3 game, but I'm going to compare the DS game to other DS games and value its graphics.
Yeah, it's definitely a relative thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think price should be the ultimate deciding factor in a review, but you should consider it. You know, when I reviewed Alpha Protocol, I was furious that they wanted to charge $60 for that game. It was like, even at a budget price of $20, this is asking too much. This mm-hmm. game is a broken, buggy, nastily developed, awfully designed piece of shit. And to charge, when I think of a game, especially like the recent one, X-Men Destiny, that Silicon Knights shat out to make a bit of money in time for Christmas. To charge $60 for a game so lazily produced, so utterly, unforgivably lazy, is disgusting to me. Maybe for $15, though, as a digital download on XBLA, it might have been a bit more forgivable. But you put that on a store shelf for $60 and you have the gall to place it next to something like Uncharted or Gears of War or any other game that's been A, finished, B, made give a shit, and C, even vaguely good. And it's just a case of how dare you. So I think it definitely, their intention for what the game is, the price point they set, tells me what they think the game deserves, and therefore it obviously influences what I think they then deserve as a review score, because you put out a game for $60, you automatically tell me what your expectations are. You tell me for $60 you can hang with the likes of Uncharted or I guess Halo, or you know, these big games, these quality games. You can put X-Men fucking Destiny next to Batman Arkham City for the same price, and you are telling me your game deserves as much money as Batman Arkham City, and I would have to say, how dare you? How dare you? Like, it's
But the prices aren't usually set by the developers, they're set by the publishers, right? Sometimes not even that. Like, if you have downloadable titles, those prices are all set by Microsoft.
The thing is the developers will know. The developers know that they're making a game that's $60, and it's like, make it fucking worth it. I don't know if either of you have played, I'm guessing not, X-Men Destiny, but
no,
that game is not worth $20. And they knew how much it would cost, they knew what they were making, they knew what the expectation should have been, and it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. People ask me why I'm harsh with reviews. It's because of this. It's because when you give me a game that's shit, and you expect people to pay $60 for it, you are robbing them. And it is not fair, and it is not cool at all. Take your 2 out of 10 score. Fucking carve it out of potato skins. Cook the potato skins so that they get really hard and sharp. And then cut into your dick helmet with them.
What's a dick helmet?
The end of your knob.
Oh, the penis.
The purple thing.
Right. Yes.
How dare you, Silicon Knights?
Well, hopefully, I would assume that if a lot of people don't buy it, then the price will go down.
I hope not. But the thing is, it's got the X-Men name on it. Those fucking lazy hacks knew they could shit out any old garbage, and you know, you'd get purchases from Marvel fans. And the fact that they're, because I saw a commercial on TV, it is selling one bad and one mediocre game in the same commercial, both by Activision, the X-Men Destiny and Spider-Man Edge of Time, and they're advertising them as, you know, buy for the holidays. And I'm like, you deliberately did this. You rushed these two fucking games out to hit the holiday season just to sell them to kids. And I just, I find that a disgusting practice. It's grotesque.
I would imagine it was, I can't help but think that the people making the game wanted the game to be good. I mean, nobody likes dedicating a year of their life to doing something that sucks and they're ashamed of. But the publishers probably said, yep, yeah, it's good enough to ship. Send it out. And they're like,
I don't know.
Oh,
I mean, I would like to think that all developers are in it for the love, but sometimes I think they are. Like, you take on a job like X-Men, there's a mercenary feel to it, you know? It's like, yeah, we want a game for X-Men out by the holidays, just something cobbled together to make, you know, a bit of cheap money. And there's a mercenary feel to a game like that. Like, and I know there are developers that do it. Some of them don't make games out of visionary love. Hmm. Or they make games to fund something later. Mm-hmm. That's made out of visionary love.
They loved X-Men. They might have been like, oh, I get to make an X-Men game. Hooray. I'll make up a little Japanese schoolgirl.
They might have thought that. I mean, I think you've got a very high opinion of the human race.
I kind of do.
I'm a lot more optimistic about people than I am, but having played the game, it just feels very mercenary. Like they knew what it was and they knew what they were doing. And, you know, maybe they're putting the money into something else, but that doesn't change what they're selling right now. And
the game based on the Wolverine movie was actually pretty fun, right?
Yeah,
maybe
that was
things like that.
That was made by Raven, though, and Raven have a habit of making very solid games that nobody gives a shit about. I love Raven. They are what I call like a pure thoroughbred middle shelf developer. They make these games that aren't AAA, but they aren't like budgety shit. They're just right there in the middle, most people glossing over them. They did Wolverine Origins. They did the newer Wolfenstein, and they did Singularity, which I thought was fucking superb. Mm. But you know, they sit there in the middle of the shelf, you know. Nobody really buying them. They reissued Singularity, actually, and put a Destructoid sticker on it.
I didn't know that.
Not a Destructoid logo, I should say, but like a sticker with a quote on it saying how good it was.
Oh, that's nice.
Totally stand by it. That's a superb game, but nobody bought it.
That's a shame. Maybe, you know, I always wonder when these games are going to have their time, you know, whether they may come back at some point down the line as downloadable titles, or after they get a sequel that hits, then everyone goes back and plays the first one. It happens quite a bit. I hope it happens for that game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well.
What's the next question?
Nick128, Tara Long, who's the sexiest guy at Detoid?
Oh, that's such a mean, hard question.
I know, that's why I asked.
Jonathan Holmes, of course.
Oh, that's not true. Thank you.
No, it's true.
Oh, thanks.
Maybe you were Dale?
Yeah, I'm the hottest. Me or Dale's pretty hot, dude.
I can't think of many of the men staffers off the top of my head.
I don't know how Dale stays so fit.
I don't think he eats very much. He looks incredibly thin the last time I saw him.
The guy is a fucking gourmand. He knows his food. He is a food champion. I think what he does is he sings the fat off.
Does burn a lot of calories.
We all know the guy's a phenomenal singer. He sings the fat off. Like he eats, and at the end of a day, he looks like Ursula from Little Mermaid, and then he just starts singing, and within half an hour, he's back to his svelte self.
I'd like to witness that. I hope that's true. Yeah.
He's physically terrifying in that regard.
I miss that guy. I hope to see him again sometime.
He is a good man. Good man.
He's always working, though. You never get to talk to him. He's always busy. Yeah. Indeed.
To a man says, favorite non-gaming website?
That's tough. I don't read a lot of non-gaming websites. I check Ain't It Cool News sometimes for Movie Moves and Flixist. Flixist, I'll check them out.
I read a lot of Reddit, even though I don't really like it. Read some Hacker News, and I also am really into interior design, so I read Apartment Therapy, which is a good interior design blog.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
The Guardian UK has some good movie reviews sometimes and news.
They do good game content as well, actually. The Guardian are really clued in.
I haven't noticed that. I should check into that.
They're nice, too. I've spoken to a couple of their writers before. They're nice people.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, every once in a while it happens. Cool. Yeah.
I like, and it's almost cheating because I do end up reading a lot of the video game pages on it, but I'm a big fan of TV Tropes. I like...
That's a good one.
It's a fun site. It's one of those ones where, you know, you start with one page and you've got 25 tabs open before you're done. Mm-hmm. It's addictive stuff. It's fun. When I'm looking on my, when I'm looking really busy on my phone, if you ever see me at an event and it looks like I'm really busy, I'm probably really bored just reading TV Tropes. So
I've never been to that website. I should go to that website.
Oh, you should. It's good. They like, they got, it's like Wikipedia, but it discusses all like the cliches and, well, not so much the cliches, more like the storytelling familiarities that you see in TV shows.
There's a trope for everything. Trends.
Yeah, and there's, it's got good stuff in there. Like, it's got a lot of video game dedicated ones as well. Like, and it covers everything you could think of in a video game.
Yeah, sounds educational. I should check it out.
Yeah, there's some fascinating stuff in there. What else have we got? Kofi says, since you guys seem to be surrounded by games 24/7, do you ever get tired of video games as a subject and or hobby? Or is this something impossible for video games, quote unquote, journalists?
I feel like the rate at which the industry expands is greater than the rate at which I can consume it. So no. Does that make sense? Like, there's so more games out every single year.
Yeah.
You never run out of things to talk about.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or games that you didn't know ever existed, you're finding out about, yeah, games that got canceled, that got brought back. There's always a story. I do get a little bit sick of sort of the social patterns in gamer culture. I've heard some of the same stuff about the same games and the same complaints, and sometimes contradictory complaints. Like, a lot of the people that are complaining that Mass Effect is going to have co-op are the same people that complain that other games that will remain nameless did not have co-op. And it's just kind of like they want you developers to cater only exactly to whatever their particular preference at the particular moment is. And if not, it's like a holy war against them that gets a little exhausting. I mean, if you have an opinion and you want to give a perspective and give a point, that's great. I never get sick of that. But when you sense that people are just wanting to jump on the bandwagon in order to feel a part of like a mass burning of a company, or what is it when they grab the torches and the pitchforks? What do they call that? Hanging. That's what I'm thinking. Oh. Lynching. Well, I'm talking about good old fashioned lynching. When you feel that internet lynching coming on, like, oh, so-and-so did something wrong, everybody kill him, that makes me a little sad.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat. It's like sometimes gamer culture can really tire me and I have to step away from it. But video games themselves, they're so varied and there's so much there that even if I get bored of a genre for a while, I can take a break from it and play a different type of game. There's so much, and the job as well is so varied and so amazing. It's like every day, you know, I'll see the FedEx guy drive past and I'll get excited because I don't know what's coming, if anything at all, you know. And I don't know what kind of game is gonna, whether it's good or bad. Like, I mean, that's always a gamble, and it's an exciting gamble. It's not one where, I think if you get tired of it, you're probably in the wrong line of work. I know there are some people out there that get really burnt out on video games, and it's like, well, go do something else. Some of these quote unquote journalists are like, I get the sense they would rather be writing about movies or music or something more respectable, you know? And games we've they went for that. As a low hanging fruit and they kind of don't like it.
There's nothing more depressing to me than that when I'm at an industry event and the people I'm with clearly look down on me for being another video game journalist. and also kind of hate themselves and are like just waiting for that Entertainment Tonight gig. Yeah. That's very, very depressing.
I mean, you get people.
Do you meet a lot of people like that though? I don't really.
Kind of. When I was at the Epic Mickey review event, there was a lot of people who were just like, "Oh, I wish I was reviewing a Disney movie, not this stupid video game." Oh, maybe someday, maybe I'll make a connection here at Disneyland and get an entertainment job. And I was like, "Oh God, your life is bad."
I don't know. It seems really unprofessional to say that at a video game event that's probably providing you with free food.
Well, they didn't say it to Disney, but they certainly...
Well, no, but I mean, just to anybody.
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, that's the other thing. Much like psychiatrists, video game journalists don't always have a lot of, at least their conduct on the job. There's no one watching over them to make sure they're not being douchebags. They can just do whatever they want. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sad. You get some people that have been playing games for as long as they've been writing about them, and clearly they'll stop playing if they get to write about something else. Mm-hmm. You know, what can you do? What can you do?
Sure.
VG Freak 1225 says, with the announcement of Infinity Blade 2 came, and this is quite, I found this interesting as well, with the announcement of Infinity Blade 2 came the release of Infinity Blade Awakening, a digital novel based on the game. I think that an entire novel based on a $6 iOS game is a potential premonition that the mobile market is really beginning to step into its own. What do you guys think? And do you see more mobile games becoming franchised more? Has this ever happened before?
Is it like free with purchase, or
I think
the novel?
You buy it. It's a digital. I don't think it costs very much, but I found that fascinating that Infinity Blade is getting a novel. I'm not really a big digital reader because I like my eyes. I'd love that on paper. I would buy that in a heartbeat on paper. But it's definitely happening. Like Angry Birds in my local supermarket, there's Angry Birds plush toys everywhere. I've got an Angry Birds shirt because it was vaguely game related and it fit over my tits, so I had to buy it. No matter what was on it. This whole franchising, these games are getting fucking big, you know? They're getting as recognizable as your big console titles, and I think that's generally a good thing. I think
Well, as long as the games are good.
Yeah, as long as the games are good. Like, I love Infinity Blade, so... And the idea that a $6 iOS game is getting a novel, you know? It's...
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
I'm a little more cynical, sadly. I'm remembering when Dead Space, the first one, which didn't sell terribly, but it didn't sell as well as EA expected from what I remember. They really wanted to grow that brand, so they made the anime and then the other anime and then like the digital comic game. Do you remember that?
Well, I think the problem there is they didn't try and grow a brand. They tried to have like an oven ready brand that was like instantly everywhere. The first game hadn't even come out, and you had comics and a movie and plans for novelizations and everything.
Yeah.
And it was overload straight from the beginning. With Infinity Blade and Angry Birds, you know, they started off as games and then just got really, really popular, and now they're making them franchised as a response to the demand, whereas Dead Space, the demand wasn't there yet. So,
they were trying to give the illusion that it was this big thing. Well, with Angry Birds, sure, that's definitely legit. But I didn't know Infinity Blade was that big of a seller. Did it sell pretty well?
Yeah. Infinity Blade was a huge success.
Oh, good for them. That's great. Well, in that case, I'm all happy about it. Bring that novel on. Yeah. Let me read it. Put it in a bookstore so I can buy it. I want to read it today.
What a novel concept. Heyo. You and I had a sigh after that one.
Yeah, the self-disgust always makes it great.
I'm taking over for Max now that he's gone.
You do know him pretty well, that Max. You see a lot of him.
We do spend quite a bit of time together.
Yeah, I wonder how well you could mimic him. That's kind of a lot.
Technicolor Dewdrop said that an iTunes reviewer said Tara Long is a hermaphrodite?
Yes. Hey, I was going to bring that up.
I'm glad you were.
There is a really incredibly in-depth iTunes review that is relatively spot on in that it just goes into a whole lot of detail about each of our personality.
Really?
I haven't read this.
I don't know if I want to read this.
Serious, up until you get to the paragraph about me, because each of us has a separate paragraph. The paragraph about me is like, it's nice to see a hermaphrodite like doing this. Good for her. But then he randomly calls me him throughout the paragraph.
Wow. Wow. That could mean so many different things about his brain, assuming it's a guy who wrote it. Could be someone who wishes you were a hermaphrodite. It could be someone who's like, a girl likes video games. She must be part boy. It could be someone who's trying to hurt your feelings.
It's very matter-of-factly. Like, I think it's really great that a hermaphrodite is doing this.
Yeah, but it could be passive-aggressive. It could be a fantasy they have. Well, what? Some dudes really, I don't know if you've seen that, Futanari, I believe it's called, Brad Rice of, Japanator and Destructoid fame. Back in the old days, Jim probably remember this, these email chains were just starting Destructoid that were just nothing but, anime girls with like 5 to 6 foot long penises talking to each other. Hanging out. Yeah.
That was, that was some amazing things.
Yeah, people like girls with penises for some reason. They really think it's great.
Yeah, that's weird to me because the penis is the most unattractive part about a man.
People don't like the penis. No, it's a frowner. People frown when it's shown. and I've been told many a time by a woman, if I found out you liked penises a little bit, I would think you were gross. I'm like, oh, okay. Because there's always this kind of double standard, guys like lesbians. Women, not so much with gay dudes all the time.
No. Total turn off.
Yeah. That, but this one girl I dated in grad school was always trying to get me to make out with guys. I wouldn't do it. I thought it was weird.
Like?
She's like, if you and my ex-boyfriend Todd just kind of touch tongues for a second, just for a second, that would be pretty cool. I could watch that, and I could watch you do that with your tongue, and Todd's tongue.
That's gross.
Yeah, she's
did
having a baby now.
Did you make out with Todd?
I did not.
Is he hot?
Tara Long is interesting in that she's a hermaphrodite. How many podcasts do you know that has a hermaphrodite in it? I think we both know the answer to that. I really don't know what else to say about Tara. He doesn't talk enough, and it really makes me mad. Every once in a while, she will add that this or that is cute, but nothing too big. Whenever there is a big discussion going on, he will only add a sentence or two. Maybe she is intimidated by Jim talking over her. I don't know. She asks questions sometimes and doesn't really add to the discussion. He's smart too, had a degree in math. Why not use that brain to add some unique discussion? The podcast would really benefit if you talk more.
That's me in a nutshell.
They want more of you. That's always good. I think it's good to be Boba Fett-like. And
yeah, they want the wrong part of me, Holmes. The longest part.
That may be true, yeah.
And Jonathan Holmes is a really nice and likable guy, but likes to show up late.
I like to, yeah. That's
he has a good insight on a lot of things that have to do with games. He's basically the guy that brings the podcast down to earth when things start getting a little crazy. Jonathan isn't nearly as opinionated as Jim, so it's a good change of pace. He's so nice when he disagrees with people, it's even a little painful to watch. I really hate that he doesn't like the same types of games that I do, but I can't find it in me to be mad at him. One extremely important thing I should bring up is that he's half black or something. Maybe he's from Guam, I'm not quite sure. It's good this podcast has at least a little diversity, though.
It's good. You gotta get that half Guam quota.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yep. Absolutely.
That's good. Thank you, everyone, by the way, for all these lovely interviews you've done. Fuck the guy who said, love it, but I want to write a terrible review so Jim will read it out and laugh. Not going to do that, because you've given us a 1-star rating, which I was worried people would do when we wrote out those negative reviews before. That actually doesn't help us.
Yeah,
so,
less people will try listening to the podcast now, right?
Yeah, it's like, I get the joke, and I should have pointed out in the episode that don't do that, because I knew people would, and someone did. And so
here's the thing, I'll say this right now. When we get as big as, you know, the Jared from Subway, or Tom Cruise, or Snooki, When we're Snoosh. Huge, when we're huge celebrities that can take a little bit of, oh, you know, we lost $100,000, big deal. Sure, give us 1-star reviews at that point. That'll be fine. But we're still not rich or famous at all. Like, there, where people think we're a big deal because we're a big deal to them, and that's really flattering. But the world at large has no idea who we are, and we're not rich at all.
No, we're really definitely not rich people. Quite the opposite.
No, far from rich. No, no. It's an achievement that we eat and pay the rent and stuff. I mean, we're pulling it off, but yikes. Yeah, we're not quite at the level where we can take those joke attacks that'll ruin us. Yeah.
But seriously, to those that did us some lovely reviews, like we've got 215 ratings. That ain't bad. And we're on 4 out of 5 stars. That's cool.
Most of them are for the old episodes.
A lot of them for the old ones, but we had a big upsurge.
Yeah, we've had maybe 50 since we restarted.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that, and it helps us out and everything. So thank you for that, boys and girls. Thank you.
Yeah, and if you legitimately think we suck, just write me an email. That'd be nice.
Oh, yeah. We got a question from King Crude, who is an old friend of mine who lived in the flat. You know, the place I mentioned in Bromley that was horrible. And King Crude, who is an old and good friend of mine, he wanted me to tell everyone about the time he gave me a Swiss roll and beans as a leaving gift.
What's a Swiss roll and beans?
You know, chocolate Swiss roll. Like a chocolate cake.
Like the Little Debbie or whatever? Or like Hostess?
Little Debbie.
Hostess?
Sure, okay. I can imagine it.
Okay, a Little Debbie. Imagine that in the middle of baked beans. Because we saw it on TV once and thought it would be fun to do. What TV were you watching?
This is amazing.
It was a show, it was an old comedy show called Bo Selector. A shameful show. Which no one is allowed to admit they liked, but
was it on in the BBC? Was it UK show?
Channel 4. It had swearing and shouting. But yeah, for my last day in the flat before I moved house, my friend King Crude baked me beans, put a Swiss roll in it, and it was intended just for a joke, but I ate it anyway.
Was it any good?
For the same reason why I was sniffing a Sharpie at the beginning of the episode. It was absolutely disgusting. Baked beans are like one of my favorite things, by the way. My wife thinks I'm disgusting because, and I wouldn't do it now because I've got money, but back in the time, I invented a meal called beanie pasta, where you get some pasta and then just mix it up with baked beans.
That sounds pretty good. Starchy.
I thought it was good. It's, you know, it fills you up more than you could ever need to be filled up. And it costs like £1 to make. My wife says it's disgusting, but I'm like, dude, it did the trick. You know, I didn't vomit and was full for cheap, which was important back in the days when I made like 140 quid a week.
Sure. Yeah, when I was in graduate school, I'd make coffee pasta all the time because it filled me up and gave me caffeine too. So I just boiled pasta, coffee. Yeah, I browned it good, real brown pasta.
Browned it good. I'll brown that pasta real good.
I haven't really slept this month. I don't know if it shows. I'm pretty tired. I'm having fun though, but I'm pretty pooped out. Yeah.
Earthworm Jim asks if we've ever thought about doing a live call-in episode. We are never doing that. I want to kill that now. We did that once for the 100th episode of Podtoid back on the old shows, and it ruined everyone's time ever.
Really?
It was awful.
Check that out.
We tried a few when I did Podcastle as well, that old thing. And even then, it's just a mess. Those things are horrible. We can barely make a coherent, well, we don't even make a coherent show. We can barely make a listenable show just doing this shit every week. There's no way we could sustain a call-in episode. It would be 5 hours long and 40 minutes of it would be usable.
Yeah, just guys saying hi and then hanging up. There was a lot of that when we did Faxtoid April 1st this year. Did you get on any of those calls, Jim and Tara? Did you?
No, I'm afraid of the telephone.
Yeah, me too. It's tough. My wife answered a lot of them, actually, for me. And guys would just call and go, hi, and then hang up. It was cute, but it wouldn't make for a good podcast, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fax George was fun. I hope we do that again someday.
We will.
Hello. Hello, Jim. You still
Hello.
There? I was quieting down, which is my little signal I do for you when you want to move on to the next thing.
Yep.
That's what I do.
I'm just making noises to, like, account for the fact I can't find another question to ask.
What do you think of that part in Revenge of the Sith when Padme Amidala is having twins, Luke and Leia, and there's this robot there that just goes, Ooba, Ooba, Oopa, Ooba, Ooba, Ooba. You remember, you know that part?
Keep doing that again, because I've got good...
Oopa, Oopa. It's not explained. No one says, oh, the soothing maternal Tron is there to force her to cause her to calm down as she dies.
Oh, I guarantee you there's already, like, plans for a novel fucking... spin-off of that. That's what they do with those Star Wars things. They make up a bunch of aliens, then a bunch of, like, half-rate novelists come up with a story for them, and they've all got beef with Han Solo. Always. Like, every expanded universe character in Star Wars has beef with Han Solo, is the best bounty hunter, and every single physical and mental trait they have is indicative of their entire species, because the idea of individuals in the Star Wars universe is ridiculous.
Well, it's a lot of work. Yeah.
And it's stupid.
I mean,
there's that bit, you know, in that film called Star Wars?
Yeah.
When Han Solo says, never tell me the odds, and everyone's oh my God, that Han Solo, he's such a rogue. One of those fucking writers who did, like, all the novelizations and expanded the universe said, oh, that was because he is a Carillion, and all Carillions hate statistics. And it's like, that's how lazy these fucking people are. Everything, there are no individuals in Star Wars. They're all, like, examples. In fact, we were talking about TV tropes. Look up on TV tropes the term always chaotic evil, which is about that. Like, how our entire races and species of things are all the same, because to come up with an individual would be ludicrous.
Huh. Yeah, I'll check that out. I always like Dungeons & Dragons classes and character types. Chaotic evil makes me smile just thinking about it. Are you looking for more questions, Jim?
Smurfy McGee says, are you feeling it, motherfuckers?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. Yeah, you know, I don't like being exhausted because it makes me self-conscious. I expect I'm going to mess up. But I do have more fun when I'm too tired to be really fully aware of what I'm doing. It loosens me up.
I think being tired and stuff is... it lets you be naughtier. Like, anytime if I'm in a bad mood or tired or sick, I think I'm going to have, like, a bad show, whether I'm doing this or gym position or whatever. It usually just means I don't think about consequences, so I get to fuck around even more.
Yeah, I'll think about them. Like, now I'm remembering that not that long ago there was total silence and I was just cooing for a while and feeling a little self-conscious about that. But at the time, I was like, oh, of course I'm doing this.
It's lost in the moment, man.
This is what these 10,000 people want to listen to. Yeah, absolutely. That's what they want.
I'm going to have to cut it here because it's getting dark. God.
Oh, it's dark out. Jeez. Yeah, it's pitch black. Yeah.
Well, we've had a fun
time. It's bright sunny.
Yeah, we've had a fun one. Yeah. Absolutely.
Friends are there. I don't know why I did the one lyric from the Garfield and Friends intro theme that I know.
That what that was from? I forgot about that.
Friends are there. That's all I remember.
People should watch that video of Electric Light Orchestra set to a bunny anime girl with the Xenomorphs and Superman and Star Wars and everything in it. Remember that video?
What?
Oh, yeah, Max Scoville tried to send it to you
on Twitter. Xenomorphs and Yellow.
There, it's set to an ELO song, which is really good. I'd never heard it before, and I was really impressed.
What one is it?
It's something about, you know, being on the edge of time, and we all know we're going to die, but we've just got to live for the moment and be ourselves and be all right, sort of thing. And there's an anime girl from the 80s, so it's a different kind of style than you might be used to today, with bunny ears, just suddenly fighting a xenomorph and then having a lightsaber and fighting Darth Vader, and then Superman flies by, and then Alf is there, and the entire cast of the Muppets. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. I'll send it to you. I'm sorry. And
yeah,
I'll,
that's amazing.
When we post this episode, maybe we can send a link to it so people can.
Oh, yeah. I'll completely forget. But the spirit is there that I will do this.
Do I have permission to edit your post and just add the link?
You can have permission to edit the post and put the link.
Thank you. I won't add any words. I'll just add the link. Okay,
sure.
Thank you.
Okay.
Great.
Well, I guess that's it then. There were some other really good questions, but it's fucking 10 to 6. My wife's going to kill me. Just sat in here shouting all afternoon. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all of your support. Like your iTunes reviews and those of you who we tricked into buying the Android app. No, thank you for listening. And I'd like to thank also Max Scoville, who is now dead. And Tara Long, thank you. And Jonathan Holmes, thank you. And
oh, thank you, Jim.
Thank me. And thank God for me. And yes, do watch Tara and Max on the Destructoid show every Monday,
yes.
Wednesday, and Friday.
It is our giveaway week this week, since today, I guess, is our 1 year anniversary. Yesterday?
Mm. Yeah, that's right. Yesterday was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're giving away a bunch of stuff all week.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
What things are you like or not?
We got a custom pair of A40 headsets from Astro.
Of course you have. We have those like for every giveaway we have.
Those Astro guys are awesome.
Doing it stuff.
We got a couple of Guitar Hero bundles, one of which has a faceplate that is signed by Taylor Swift.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. You can masturbate all over that.
Yeah. We've got a bunch of codes for Black Ops Resurrection, Dragon Age 2 DLC, Serious Sam 3. And then we've also got a PC Shooter prize pack, which comes with a full copy of Battlefield 3 and a Razer keyboard and a multiplayer code for Counter-Strike.
You're so good at just saying things now. I mean, when we first started, you were good at saying things. But now you can just read stuff, and you don't stutter, you don't stammer, there's no us.
Oh, I stutter all the time.
Not that I've seen. I'm impressed.
Yeah, definitely. So certain days are bad. I don't know why.
Well,
some days I just trip over my words.
Jesus.
But
I just had like 4 packages just delivered to me. Wow. I got one from GameStop. That's going to be the golden Saints Row 3 USB stick I got using those GameStop points just because it was there. But no, do tune in, as said, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Destructoid Show. They're giving away tons of awesome shit. God damn it. do watch Jonathan Holmes. He's got a show talking to women about video games. This week he talks to a lady with an accordion. About what's the subject?
Well, we started talking about online passes, but in the end, what the episode is really about is whether being a gamer and having that be a part of your identity is something you should be uptight and worried about.
Oh, there you go.
This is really about. Yeah, and I think I'm gonna try to give away stuff on my dumb show too. Watch for that. Maybe I'll get
both
to do
of
that.
Those are on youtube.com/detoid.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
forgot to mention that.
Awesome.
That's where you can watch them.
Stay tuned, Destructoid, October 14th. The review for Batman Arkham City is going up. That is one you will not want to miss. We'll have Aliens Infestation reviewed as well. And fuck it. Watch me on the Gymquisition on the Escapist Mag.com. Oh, go on. Might as well.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next week, guys. Bye.
So long.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Always feels abrupt when we end. It's just...
Yeah, well, I never really planned it.
We're going to shout at you for 2 hours and then tell you to fuck off.